Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
God bless you. I believe that this lesson will really help you to understand how Jesus really cast out demons and dealt with evil spirits. It's good to understand the truth in the Bible. One of the reasons I have the desire to study this issue because I noticed that casting out demons or deliverance have been quite lacking in the body of Christ, quite rare in churches. And a lot of Christians and people in the church have been tormented, have been tortured by demons. But we rarely see people get set free from demons. So one day God spoke to me that in order to practice deliverance or casting out demons, I need to know and understand the Bible regarding demonology. So I began to study, and I don't want to keep this information or this understanding with myself. I want to share with all of you. I want to share with the church so that we all learn how to deal with demons who may come to attack you directly or may come to attack your loved ones, your children, your friends in the church. So please understand that I will teach this quite in detail, in depth. How Jesus deal with demons. I would like to read Mark chapter 1, 21 to 29. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. He means Jesus. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obeyed him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. First of all, I want to explain to you that the Bible used the word demons and evil spirit alternately. And in this lesson, sometime I may use the word demons, sometime I may use the word evil spirit. But they mean the same thing. Okay? Mark chapter 1 verses 21 to 29 describes the opening of Jesus' ministry. He began his public ministry. And if we read in the translation called Philip translation, in Mark chapter 1 verse 39, the Bible say like this, "So he," Jesus, "continued preaching in their synagogues and expelling evil spirits throughout the whole Galilee." What does it mean, continued? What does it mean? It means all the time. On and on and on, again and again and again. Continue. So in the Greek language, the word continue means continue past tense. So if you read this scripture one more time and imagine in your mind, Jesus continued preaching in their synagogues and expelling evil spirits throughout the whole Galilee. In other words, expelling demons was a normal and daily practice of Jesus' ministry. He continued preaching and he continued expelling or casting out demons. Casting out demons was not something that happened only occasionally or sporadically. But it is something that happened on a regular basis, almost on a daily basis. It's not something exceptional happened once a year, once in 10 years. It's a normal practice throughout his public ministry. And not only that, when you read this scripture, he continued preaching in that synagogue and expelling evil spirit. So you can see that expelling evil spirit was directly associated with his preaching ministry, not a separate situation. Wherever he went, whatever synagogue he walked in, he began to preach the word. After that, what he did? He preached. He cast out demons. It was a part of his public ministry. So together with his teaching and preaching, he regularly expelled evil spirit in a public place, such as in a synagogue. And it was done throughout the whole Galilee, not just only one corner of the street, not only in one small area of the city, but the whole Galilee, he did this. He preached the gospel and expelled evil spirit. So if you read Mark chapter 1 verse 39 many times, you will see that the ministry of Jesus Christ was totally different from most preachers nowadays in the contemporary traditional churches, that people just come in and sing a few songs, giving offering and preaching the sermon for half an hour, and everyone will go home. If Jesus walked into your church today, I believe that he will cast out demons from some people. Amen. So his service would be totally different from a normal, routine, traditional, and contemporary style of service of today churches. Amen. So everywhere he went, he preached and he cast out demons. Now we're going to look into detail how Jesus cast out demons. I read Mark chapter 1, 27 to 28 one more time. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. So Jesus casting out demons was a very unique and original feature of his ministry. If you read the four gospels, you know that Jesus performed many kinds of miracles, healing the sick. He performed miracles of provision. He fed 5,000 people, you remember? He changed water into wine. That is the miracle of provision. He controlled the forces of nature. He stopped the storm and the wind. He walked on the water. He raised the dead. He performed so many kinds of miracles. And if you read the Old Testament, many Old Testament prophets, such as Moses, Joshua, Elijah, and Elisha, perform all these kinds of miracles as well. Like Moses split the Red Sea. He got water out of the rock. So that is the miracle of provision. And the miracle of coming against the force of nature. You remember in Joshua chapter 10 verse 12, Joshua commanded the sun to stand still and the moon to stop moving for many hours. In 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah performed miracles. 2 Kings chapter 4, Elisha performed a miracle that a widow poured oil into empty jars and all the jars were filled with oil. So it's a miracle of provision. But there is one ministry, there is one miracle that other prophets in the Old Testament never did. That was the miracle of casting out demons. Casting out demons was a unique, striking feature of Jesus' ministry. There was no one else before him that performed this kind of miracle. And he did it in such a unique way that his fame spread all over the region of Galilee. In other words, people began to talk about him in a shopping mall, in the coffee shop, in the in the supermarket. Everywhere talk about who that Jesus, that man Jesus, the son of Joseph. He did something new we never seen in Israel. That other people did before, that was casting out demons by the power of God. Amen. Amen. So casting out demons was a striking feature of the ministry, public ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, another question we have is that even though Jesus performed this kind of striking ministry, let's look at the Old Testament together. In Leviticus chapter 17, verse 7. 17, verse 7. They shall no more offer their sacrifices to demons, after whom they have played the harlot. This shall be a statute forever for them throughout their generations. So even the book of Leviticus talking about demons already. So in fact, the children of Israel knew about demons, but they did not know how to cast out demons the way Jesus did. They may try to exercise exorcism, but they did not cast out demons the way Jesus did. How did Jesus did? He just say one word, go, shut your mouth, get out of here. You see, very with high authority. He did not have to fight with demons. He just say, go, shut your mouth, get out. That's it. The way he expelled demons is very unique. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 17. They sacrificed to demons, not to God. To gods they did not know. To new gods, new arrival that your fathers did not fear. So the book of Deuteronomy talk about demons. The book of Psalm chapter 106 verses 36 to 37. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. Wow, the book of Psalm also talk about the Old Testament people sacrifice their children to demons, to evil spirit. Evil spirit have been around for thousands of years. They are not something new. Okay? So now, as a church, as the servant of God, we need to learn how to fight and how to cast out demons. So in the time of Jesus, the Jews also realized the presence of demon or the reality of demon. And they practiced some form of exorcism too. Look at Matthew chapter 12 verse 27. Jesus say like this, And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? You see, Jesus said that your guy cast out demon too, but they did not cast out demon the way he did. He practiced a form of exorcism. Jesus make it clear that the people in his time already practiced some form of exorcism or casting out demons. Look at Acts 19:13-14, the time of the New Testament. The Bible said, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. And also there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. So the Jews at that time heard about casting out demons in the name of Jesus by the apostles. And even though they were not Christians, they tried to cast out demons by using the name of Jesus. And you know what happened to them? They got into trouble because them demons jumped on them, almost tore them apart. So you can see here that even in the New Testament time, in the book of Acts, people talk about exorcism already. But the way Jesus cast out demons was so different that the Jews say like this, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For what authority he commands even the unclean spirits? And they obeyed him. He command the unclean spirit. Wow. We can do the same thing. I just mentioned a while ago to all of you that every morning when I woke up, I say to myself and say to, you know, the spiritual world, in the name of Jesus, I don't accept sickness. I don't accept any demonic attack on me. I don't accept any virus, any bacteria. You cannot be on my body. I command you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So, and I also speak like that to people in my family, people around me. I say that you cannot touch my wife. You cannot touch my kids. You go away from my house, you know. So we can command them not to come into our door. You can command them not to come into your life. Amen. You have that authority. Jesus has given you the authority if you are a child of God. He gives you the authority to trample on scorpions and snakes, and all the power of the enemy cannot overcome you. But you need to exercise that authority. You need to speak, you need to command, and you need to ask and seek from God. Mm-hmm. Do it. You know, a lot of people may have $100 bills, $100 bill in the wallet, but they never use it. So that $100 bill is useless if you never use it. Is that right? The same thing, you have authority in the name of Jesus. You need to use that authority. Jesus command the evil spirit, and they obey him. So the same thing, we have that authority in the name of Jesus, and they must obey us. Amen?
Amen.
So, Jesus' ministry of casting out demons immediately set people talking, become a conversation issue. Become, I think if it's today, it will be in the website. It will be in the internet. It will be in many web pages. Amen. It will be in the TV. They will definitely send the news reporter to, you know, tape him and to see how he casts out demons. Mm-hmm. So Jesus' ministry is unique. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So Jesus tried to tell us this, that when he cast out demons, the miracle that happened in fact brings the open clash or the warfare in front of the eyes of people of the two spiritual kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. You know that evil spirits are Satan's agents, secret agents. You have seen some movies, Secret Agents, you know, the man in the black. So evil spirits are the secret agents of Satan. And Jesus, when he casting out demons that he performed, really brought out the open spiritual warfare, the open clash between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan to the eyes of the multitudes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And I experienced that when I went to Asia and I began to lay hand on people and demons came out, everyone saw with their own eyes. In the last trip to Bangkok, a young lady came into our service. She is only 6 months old Christian, and she came. I didn't know her at all, actually. I began to lay hand on her. The demon began to come out of her, and it took about an hour until all the demon came out. You know, she was there just coughing, vomiting, and I lay hand on her, and after she got set free, she looked like a new woman. Her eyes radiate the love of God. Her face looked shining the glory of God. The darkness on her face was gone. Amen. Like that. You know, and this happened in the middle of the room of that meeting room. Everyone saw that. Everyone sat there and watched what happened at that, you know, open clash between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. So Jesus said that Satan has his own kingdom. Is that right? And his kingdom is the kingdom of darkness. He rules his own undivided kingdom. And in order to remove the agents of Satan, we need to come with the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 26, if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided amongst himself. How then will his kingdom stand? So you can see here that Jesus talked about the kingdom of Satan that tried to torture, tried to penetrate into people's life, try to attack. You know, Satan will try to attack you all the time. Do you know that? How many people know how to keep them away from you? How to shut the door to the devil from attacking you? What is the key, the important key of shutting the important principle to shut that door? Living in obedience to the Word of God. Amen. If you live your life in obedience to the Word of God, you shut the door to the devil all the time. He cannot come in. Amen. Amen. But sometimes we sin against God, we disobey God, and demon may try to come in again. So what we need to do, we need to cast them out. And whenever you see casting out demon, you can see a clear, open clash between the two spiritual kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And at that time, when you see that, even non-believers can witness that the devil was real, is real, and he had demons under his control. And non-believers will also witness that the power of God is real and greater than the power of Satan. Amen. Amen. And it bring out the two kingdom into the open eyes of people, into the open. It's the open manifested defeat of the devil. So we should cast out demons in the church off and on to let people know that our God is greater than demons. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now look at Mark chapter 1, verses 24 to 25. Mark chapter 1, 24 to 25. Mark chapter 1, 24 to 25. Could you please read it for me? Mark chapter 1, 24 to 25.
What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet, said Jesus sternly. Come out of him.
Okay, in this scripture, you can see another principle from the life of Jesus, from the ministry of Jesus. At times, Jesus would speak directly to demons, and they also spoke to him. But there is no New Testament pattern for holding lengthy conversations with demons. Jesus spoke to them in a brief, short conversation, and demon spoke back to him, but you never see that Jesus would hold a very lengthy discussion, question and answer with the demon. So be careful, don't do that. If you try to hold a lengthy conversation with demon, you will begin to practice witchcraft. You will begin to ask them for counseling, and they lie to you anyway. So you ask them question, they're going to lie to you. Demons are liars, is that right? So don't even try to go on with the conversation with demon. Just say, go out of here, shut your mouth, be quiet, get out of him, get out of her. That's it. Don't try to ask question too much. Don't try to continue lengthy conversation with demon. You notice in this scripture that the man who was demon-possessed spoke, but actually, even though it's the voice of the man, but the person that spoke to the man was not the man himself. But that voice came out from the from demons. Okay? And if you notice, whenever demons speak, they will use the term we and I alternately, or I and us, me and us, and we and I. Like in this scripture say, let us alone, and then it continued to say, you come to destroy us, I know who you are. We, us, I, me. Why demons speak that way? How many people know? Because when a man speaks, one demon speaks through him, but he is speaking on behalf of the group inside. So demon is not one spirit inside of a person. When evil spirit come into a person, they come as a group, as a gang, like a mafia. Many kinds of evil spirit inside a person. That's why when I cast out demon, I don't cast out just a little bit and then leave. I will try to cast them out as much as I can, because I know that there are a lot of them inside. And that's why they call themselves we. And sometimes they change the word into I, because that one demon was speaking for the rest of the team. You see what I mean? So that's how evil spirits speak to a person. And Jesus was the destroyer of demons. You notice one thing? When demons saw Jesus, they knew immediately that Jesus was the Son of God and was the Holy One of God. Even at that time, before Jesus went to the cross, all the Jews, including his disciples, did not know that he was the Messiah. They did not know that he was the Son of God. Is that right? They were still quite confusing. They thought that Jesus is going to become a king and fight with the Roman Empire and use the military force to set the captive free. They did not know that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. But the devil or demon knew that Jesus was the Son of the living God. Now, in the ordinary contemporary church, if a man comes into the church with demons, they usually get rid of him. Get out of here. You have too many demons here. But for Jesus, when a man with demon come into the synagogue, he got rid of the demons and keep the man. So we should do the same thing. When people come into our church, they may have a lot of baggages and a lot of problems in their life because of demonic activities inside them. Instead of getting rid of them, getting rid of the people, we should get rid of the demons and keep the people in the church. Amen. This is important principle. We should follow the way that Jesus ministered to people. Mark chapter 3, verses 11 to 12. Mark chapter 3, verses 11 to 12.
Whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell who he was.
You can see here that demons fell to the ground, make the man fall to the ground when they saw Jesus, because the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus was so strong that when demons came close to him, they could not even stand. They could not even handle. That's what my prayer is, that we all going to be so filled with the Holy Spirit, so full of the power of God and anointing, that when you wherever you go, demons have to run away. Demons have to run away from your life. Demons have to run away from your house, from our church. Amen. From our business, from our bank account. They cannot touch anything, because whenever we walk close to people with demons, they will be set free. How many people want to have that kind of power like Jesus? How many people want to have that kind of anointing? I want to have that kind of anointing, huh? That's my goal. Amen. So the spirit fell down in the presence of power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we need to be filled with the presence of God and the power of God. Amen. We should love the presence of God. We should love the glory of God. We should be hungry for the presence of God. Amen. We should learn how to worship God and bring the presence of God to our life. And you notice that the evil spirits always knew immediately or instantly who Jesus was. And Jesus would not accept the testimony of Satan's agent to validate his ministry. In other words, he said, "You don't go out and tell anyone that I am the Son of God. I don't care what you say. Your testimony will not validate my ministry. I don't need you to tell people, demons." Okay? So that's what Jesus tried to say. Okay, you can see here again that demons spoke to Jesus and Jesus spoke to demon in a brief way, not lengthy conversation. You notice another thing, that demons never call Jesus Lord. Do you notice that? They call him the Son of God in Mark chapter 3. And they call him the Holy One of God. They did not call him Lord, because Lord means the owner of life, the master of life. So in other words, demons and Satan are very rebellious. They will never be reconciled to God. They knew that their destination was hell. They would never repent. They would never call Jesus Lord and Savior. But Christians call Jesus Lord and Savior. Amen. So when Jesus was speaking to the person, he was not really speaking to the person, he was speaking to demon inside the person. Look at another one in Mark chapter 5, verses 6 to 13. Mark chapter 5, verses 6 to 13.
When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned.
Jesus did not speak to this man, but he spoke to a lot of evil spirit in the man. And demons were so afraid to be tormented by Jesus. They knew that one day they would be tormented forever in hell. And Jesus spoke to the evil spirit in a very brief way, asking, "What is your name?" And the answer, "Legion." The word "legion" in the Roman army consisted of about 6,000 men. We don't know exactly how many demons this man had in Mark chapter 5. But we know that he has enough demons to go into 2,000 swine or pigs. That's a lot. I think he has many thousand demons inside him. So you can see here that a person can be influenced by thousands of demons. Wow. This is not good. And how many people in the world today need deliverance? I believe that everyone who received Jesus Christ, walk into the church, become a member of the church, should go through some form of deliverance, every single one. Because before you come to know Jesus, you sin and you disobey God. So there must be some kind of demonic attack, come from generation, come from sin in your life, that you need to clean yourself up through deliverance in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we should do that off and on in the church to have a deliverance service on Sunday. So 2,000 pigs immediately ran down the steep place, the steep bank into the sea. Do you think Jesus allowed them to go into the pigs because Jesus is a Jew and he did not like pigs? I don't think so. You notice that the demon claimed that the body of that man was their home. So in order to take them out of their home, it's going to be some kind of struggle, some fighting. And Jesus knew that if he tried to force this thousand of demons out of this man, it would be a big struggle for the man, and his physical body would not be able to handle the struggle. So what Jesus did was to allow these demons to go wherever they wanted, to go into those pigs, so that there would not be too much struggle in this deliverance for the man. Amen. I do not think that Jesus hated pigs and wanted to get rid of the pigs or wanted to punish the owner of the pigs. Amen. So I don't think so. Okay, you can see here that Jesus would not hold a lengthy conversation with demons at all. So I want to give you suggestion from the biblical point of view by looking at the ministry of Jesus Christ. Don't hold a lengthy conversation with any demon. You come in and say, in the name of Jesus, be quiet, get out, come out right now. That's it. Okay? I don't even try to ask their name myself because I believe they're gonna lie to me. I would just say, go out right now in the name of Jesus, and you do it by faith in the authority of the name of Jesus. And they must go. They have no choice. They must go. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We will continue how Jesus dealt with demons in the next session. So I believe that you are blessed by hearing all these scriptures and explanation how Jesus dealt with demons. I will talk to you again in the next session. God bless you.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.